Morning. Okay. Good morning. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And they lifted their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for this morning, that we can just... We can come and spend time with you, that we can reflect on your word, that we can just come and be still before you before we begin our days. And God, we just pray that you will be with us now, that you will speak to us. And just bless us during this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so the book of Ruth is a favorite. It's very rich. It has a lot of meaning, and there's so much that we can relate to. So just in this first chapter, it kind of sets up the whole story. And we begin with this family living in Bethlehem in the time of the judges. And there's a famine in the land, and so they get up and they move to a place where there is food. So the place they go to is Moab, and Moab is often the enemy of Israel and a place where pagan gods are worshipped. And So, you know, logically, you would say, like, yeah, if there is no food in your land, like, if you want to survive, you would go to where there is food. But you see this family, they go to a place that, you know, that is not God's promised land. They kind of focus more on their circumstances, and, you know, in some ways, you could say they compromised. And you know, and even in this, like, these first few verses, there's a lot of irony in the sense that, you know, Bethlehem is, you know, it was a very rich agricultural area, and yet there was famine. And this man, his name is Elimelech, his name actually means God is king. But you see in terms of the actions, you know, in the land, the house of bread, you know, that's what Bethlehem means, there's a famine. And then you see this man, whose name means my God is king, is kind of doing things that kind of reflect that perhaps God is not truly king in their lives. And kind of with this move, everything kind of goes downhill from there. So they move to Moab, and, you know, after they live there for a bit, then Elimelech dies. And you would think that at that point, you know, the family would be like, oh, okay, maybe let's go back to our people. You know, and I think this story would have been very different if they had moved at that time, right? If they go back to, because it's, you know, from what we see, you know, when Ruth and Naomi return at the end, you know, people were still there. So it's not like there was a mass exodus where everyone had left, right? There are people who had remained, but they were the ones who had chosen to go. So they'd return, they would have been amongst their people. Her sons might have found, you know, Israelite woman, like, I don't know, but instead, you know, they stayed, and they married Moabite women, which definitely then is against, you know, what God had told them to, you know, marry women who were, you know, who from a land that worshiped pagan gods. So that was a definite no-no. And then from there, then things continue to go downhill in that the sons also die. And then Naomi finds herself with, you know, two daughters-in-law and, you know, nothing else. Kind of a no-hope situation. And it's only then that she decides to return to the land, return to Bethlehem, only because she had heard that that God had, you know, provided food. So the famine was over. And then this is when you see the difference between the two daughters-in-law, in that they both really loved Naomi. You can see through their weeping and their, you know, their desire to stay with her. But, you know, after Naomi presents a very logical case, you know, by saying, what are you going to do if you come with me? You know, I have no sons for you. You know, we're all just going to be, we're going to be three widows living in the land. You know, even if I have a son now, are you going to wait that long? Like, it makes absolutely no sense. You should just go home. You still have a chance. Go remarry, you know, and, you know, have that safety and security. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. I think if a lot of us were presented with something like that, we'd be like, it is true. Do I choose the life that's going to be very difficult with lots of hardship ahead, or should I do, like, what kind of makes sense in my mind and will offer me security and, you know, kind of no worry. And so even though they're both very, you know, devoted to Naomi, you see that, you know, Orpah decides to go back, And, you know, she's very sad, so it's not like she's like, bye-bye, and like doesn't care. You know, but I think, she, you know, she thought it through and she made her choice. And you see with Ruth, you know, along with her feelings, her actions are also very, they're very different. You know, she says, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." So here you see her devotion to Naomi and her loyalty to Naomi. But, you know, somewhere along the way, you know, Naomi's God has become her God. And her choice then is to stay with Naomi and move back towards, you know, God's territory. And yeah, I think when you look at this, it's like, yeah, there had to be something more than just her love for Naomi, right? Because even though, yeah, she really treasured her mother-in-law, it's like everything she was deciding to do was, it's just something that I think that a lot of us would not do, in the sense that it's like knowing the hardship that's ahead but still going forth. So, you know, obviously her faith and her trust in God must have also, you know, really driven her to go that way. Her loyalty to God as well, that even though it looked like the more difficult path, that she was not gonna, you know, turn her back on God or, you know, her mother-in-law. And then with this move, you know, they go back. And even though Naomi is very bitter, as she calls herself, Mara, you see that, you know, as people are reading this story, you see that it's from this point that things start looking up. Yeah, so today is a very short and sweet message, in that I just want to look at the choices of the different characters just in this kind of prologue. And, you know, I think a lot of us encounter, you know, very difficult situations, whether it's with, you know, family and relationships, work, you know, just life in general. And, you know, a lot of times the choices that are before us are not necessarily like black and white, right? It's not like keep your job or like kill a person, right? Like that's really, really obvious that it's like you're not going to commit murder, right? But, you know, something like a famine where, you know, there's a definite lack in their lives. And it's not something like, oh, they lack luxuries or something. They lack a basic necessity, which is food, right? But in this time of lack, are you going to choose what kind of makes the most sense in your mind, which is find that food, or will you choose to stay, since God never called you to go, and trust that that the God you believe in is, you know, a God who loves you and will take care of you and will provide, even if it doesn't seem like it's gonna, you know, happen very quickly or in a way that you expect. So there's kind of the Elimelech way of going about things. And then you have Ruth, where, yeah, where the choice before you is, you know, a path that seems very, you know, difficult. You know, widows back then, they weren't exactly elevated, right? It was a hard life, and there was kind of no hope of, you know, it's not like Naomi was like, yeah, I remember we have this guy Boaz, like you can go and try to meet him, right? Like she totally forgot about him, and so they went back to Bethlehem with kind of no hope in sight, but just, I think for Ruth, like a trust in God and, you know, a loyalty and devotion to Naomi. Yeah, and, you know, and they physically chose to move towards, you know, God again. So I'm not saying that, you know, all the difficult choices, like, oh, if it's really hard, if it's a path of hardship, that that means that it's God, because that's not always the case, or that things that make sense and are easy, then that's not God. Like, I'm not saying that. But there is, yeah, I guess there's that discernment and that wisdom that we need to have when we assess, you know, what we're going to do in our situations, and, you know, really thinking about what exactly our, you know, our motives are, what our focus is. Like, are we really scared that if we continue in, you know, the right way, that we're going to lose out on all these, you know, other things? And then if that's the case, like, why are these other things, like, so important to us that we would choose to compromise, you know, the most important relationship in our lives? I was trying to think of an example in my own life, and I know I have many, but, like, I'm a little bit, like, brain dead right now. But I think the one thing I can think of is, like, during my my second to last year of teaching, that for sure was the hardest year of teaching, of my life. People who are there, they know. And, you know, the easiest thing and what made sense was to quit. Just because it was like, I was physically ill, like, I was unhappy, like, it was just terrible. And I think most people were just like, you should just quit, right? And but whenever I prayed about quitting, I never felt like God gave me the okay. And I was just like, please, God, please just let me go. I'll do anything. And he's like, all right, you do anything, then you stay, right? And I was like, ah. And so in the end, thankfully, I chose to stay. And it was in that last year that so much of the horrible things were, you know, were redeemed. You know, I had a great relationship with my students. You know, I didn't burn bridges with the school in that I kept my contract because I was signed on for a 2-year contract. I was able to stay with my students until they did their big exam, and yeah, just so many things. And then from there, yeah, so during that last year, then I felt that God released me, and then from there was everything else that happened after. But yeah, I just think about how different things would have been if I had just quit, and I think that I would have been just very, very, remained very angry, very bitter, and, you know, who knows what would have happened after that. But yeah, so I guess the challenge is just, you know, if you are feeling like you are in a Elimelech situation where there's something that you feel is lacking, whether that be, you know, the job you want, the spouse you want, whatever, the peace that you want, that that we go about getting those things through the only way that is fulfilling, and that's through God. So yeah, it doesn't even have to be these big decisions or, you know, big life things, but even in terms of, you know, if you're not feeling at peace, are you going to choose to go and watch TV to numb yourself instead of spending time in the Word? Or, you know, yeah, are you going to, if you're feeling a lack of companionship, feeling lonely, like, are you going to you know, go out and, I don't know, party, and, you know, instead of, you know, having, you know, intimate relationship with people, you know, people who know God and can encourage you in a way that, you know, where you can be fulfilled. So let's pray. I'll ask Pastor Andrew to come up. Father God, we just thank you that that you are just, you are in control of our lives, that that there's no need for us to worry about anything, and even though circumstances may seem to say otherwise, God, we just thank you that you are just so much bigger than all those things. So, Father, I just pray that you'll just bring to mind any things, big or small, where, you know, we've been trying to go about things in our own way, through our own logic, through what makes sense to us, instead of trusting and relying on you. And, God, just remind us of all the times that you have been there for us, where you have met us where we're at. And so just speak to us this morning.
Thank you.
as I was praying, I just felt like maybe some of you, you know, feel a bit stuck, and that maybe you felt somewhere along the way you kind of, you know, quote unquote, chose wrongly, and now you feel stuck. You know, but remember, but ultimately, the book of Ruth is about redemption. And, you know, even Naomi, in all her bitterness, you know, she chose to return. And it's in her returning and everything that follows that, you know, that's where she found her healing as well. Yeah, so don't, yeah, I just feel like, you know, that just God wants to say, like, it's okay, just return, just come to me. It doesn't matter, you know, what happened before. It doesn't matter where you are now. What's important is that the choice you make now is to come to me. And in me, you will find rest and you will find healing. So let's pray for those in our community. First, for those who are battling cancer, just pray for strength for them in this time. Pray for the loved ones around them. Yeah, just pray that that God will continue to be their hope, even amidst these circumstances. Let's pray for those who are sick and need healing, but also need to come to know the Lord. And let's just pray for, yeah, just encounters. Yeah, encounters with God during this time. Let's pray for those dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Yeah, let's just pray for healing and yeah, also just for strength as you know, a lot of these things you know, people have been dealing with for a while now. Let's just pray that the Lord will be near and his presence will be near. Let's pray for our sister who's looking for work. Yeah, let's just pray that God will provide the right job for her. Thank you. And today let's pray for Hong Kong, for the government against the wealth gap, for revival, all the churches, Sports Service International, Shanti, Master's Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, Hong Kong students, and domestic helpers. Let's pray for staff. Just thank you for all your prayers while most of us were away. Pastor Nate and Monica are still away. They'll be returning Wednesday, or tomorrow. So you can pray for traveling mercies for them. Hospitality ministries, welcoming, and barista. And let's just pray that our church as a whole can just really grow in this area of hospitality, and that when people come, that they will feel at home and just very welcomed. Let's pray for our worship and sound and AV team. Just pray for a heart of worship and excellence in all that they do. Let's just pray for the house churches meeting tonight. First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, OPR, Soho, and Westville. Let's just pray that that they can just keep each other accountable in the challenges presented to us by P. Mary on Sunday, that our house churches will be groups of men and women who really pray and yeah, just seek God's face in everything. Father God, we just thank you again for today. Just declare that today is your day, and we just humble ourselves that we may be able to hear all that you have to speak to us today, and all the ways that you will guide us today and lead us. And we just thank you so much for your love for us. And I just bless your spirits to connect to the Holy Spirit to lead your bodies and souls today. In Jesus' name I pray. So enjoy the rest of your prayer time, your 30 minutes as challenged by P. Mary, and we'll see you tomorrow.